singing. I've been requesting that God's been taking good care of me. But Brother Randy's hand, I can see it tonight. Boy, let me tell you right now, is when you've got a guitar hand trying to press them fingers, and I didn't know if they were just tender or if sprung or what, but I know it's horrible. It's horrible. But thank you. Thank you for getting that on out. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And as you look there, if you find the place and you're able to stand, we'll look there in about verse number 3. Over there in about chapter 10 and about verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. And how we do thank you now for the goodness of God that led, brought us to repentance. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight. Don't let your mind run away with you. And you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, is that there's not one question that ever arises in our hearts or in our mind but what that God has an answer for it. You know, Job was a man that was asking a whole lot of questions. He didn't have any answers. God had all the answers and no questions. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you that if you're not careful, that's what happened in the world we're living in. Did you know over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it's about verse number 20, he said, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then in verse number 29 of that same chapter, he talked about God making man upright, and yet he sought out many inventions. You know, that's what's wrong with the average Baptist. Let me give you an idea. I know it's not you here, but you'll find out across this country. You're going to run down the road one of these days, and I met a man one time, and I what's the name of your church? Well, something Baptist Temple. Really? In other words, whatever Jesus established on the earth wasn't good enough for you? Made him mad. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now I know there's some people that seem like good people. They just don't know the difference between the temple and the church. See what I'm talking about? And that's an invention. That's an imagination that ran wild with somebody. I'll tell you something else. Youth pastor. You know what's ruined America among bad? Youth pastor. There ain't no such thing as that. You mean to tell me these boys and girls don't have to listen to me because I'm not their youth pastor? There's a pastor that God said you're to be submissive to and obedient to as he teaches you the blessed word of the Lord. But somebody decided, you know, I'm tired of babysitting these little hard-headed kids, and let's put them in another place and got somebody to entertain them. That's exactly what they do. I'll tell you something else that they invented, many other inventions. Is not only that, children's church. I understand wanting to put these little knotheads in someplace else, but that's not somebody else's responsibility. That's our responsibility to let them know how to sit right, think right, talk right, listen right. I got to tell you right up front, many inventions. I don't want to mess up a sermon down the road. I may want to work on that a little bit. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that the Bible said we're to cast down every imagination. Yeah, I can't tell you in the years that I've been here how many calls that I have gotten and that have said, I want to ask you, preacher, you know, we're looking for a church home. And I was asking what you got for the children. Do you have something for the children? I said, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And when they found out it was preaching, they weren't happy. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for something to party and play and have a good time and have some. And let me tell you right now, hold that red flash water up there that Carter brought me. I think that was Carter that brought me. Hold that up right there. You know a preacher anywhere in this country that's got a flash water that big sitting on the front row? We can protect your kids from insects. that are flying around if we get to them in time. I just said all that. I don't mean that to be ugly and critical toward anybody or anything out there. I'm just trying to tell you, before you go to getting your mind sabotaged and your mind soaked down with a bunch of imagination. You know the reason why people live like they do? You know why you've got dance hall Baptists, beer drinking Baptists, dope smoking Baptists, lying, cheating, conniving, shacking up? You know why you got all that? They just move after the imagination of their own heart. Now, I don't have time to deal with everything that we ought to deal with, but I want to tell you what I do know is that the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30, and about verse number 6, that you're not to add to his word unless you be found to be a liar. And in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that God wants to give you and I a mind that is sound. Do you know God did not, the Bible said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, if you've got a sound mind, that means you're thinking like God's thinking. And if you're thinking like God's thinking, that means you've taken his word and you've believed on it. Do you know in verse number 5 that we read, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against, notice it, the knowledge of God. If you've got something contrary to what God's given in knowledge against the word of the Lord, then you must know something that God does not know. And that's not going to be the case. I got to say to you that if you will, please, is that you'll find that a sound mind knows the only way of salvation. He preached on that the other night. A sound mind is one that's settled in the word of the Lord. And let me tell you right now, to withstand the storms of life, you're going to have to be settled in the blessed word of the Lord. There's a battle of the mind that we're in war with all the time. Since the day you got saved, the devil's trying to bombard your mind with something. And not just you men, but you women. Men have trouble looking and lusting. Women have trouble of, living and somehow or another wondering this and wondering that. And I'm going to ask somebody else if their husband's doing this and that, or have they got problems with like I've got with mine. Yeah, they do have same. You got the same stuff. They've all got the same stuff. And let me tell you right now, there's a battle all the time. It's not just every now and again. But look in your Bible. Do not lose your text, but look in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. And I want to show you a passage over there in a minute. It's in chapter number 23. And by the way, I'm just trying to say to you that if you got your mind right with God and you've been tuned in and plugged into him, is that it'll make life easier, but not without a battle. It'll just give you the victory that's yours to claim. In the book of Jeremiah, the Bible said in chapter number 23 and about verse number 17, they say still unto them that despise me. Now these are people that despise the Lord. He said, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You just do what you want to do when you want to do it. It don't matter if there's no Bible for it or not. And they were saying, lying, cheating, conniving preachers were telling that story. And we got a bunch of that going on now. I seen Oprah was talking to T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen. And they live in like a $10.5 million mansion of a house. And she was asking, don't you feel bad at all about that right there? And T.D. Jakes, you know, I didn't hear what he had to say. But no, he don't feel bad about it. Joel Osteen, he said, well, Oprah, I consider it a blessing from God. I don't have a thick enough wig or hair to be able to wear. I can tell you, while you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to recognize and begin to realize and know is that you'll find that there's somebody somewhere that will put their stamp of approval upon what it is you'd like to be able to get done and what you'd like to look like, walk like, talk like, act like. Somebody will do that. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that he said you're to cast down every imagination. Now, there's a lot of things we may do ignorantly, but as soon as you find out in the Bible what God says about that matter, as soon as you get hold of that, then you ought to go ahead and line up with what he had to say. You see, in the Bible will never lead you the wrong direction, never lead you astray. And all that business right there, I don't know how cold it is or hot it is, but it seems to me like it shows to be 62. I'm going to turn it down to 60. And it shows it must not be on or something. Is anybody in here freezing, just freeze? No? I don't know. Let me try it again. Let me look at it one more time. And all that right there. Shows to be 70 degrees in here right now. And it shows to be, oh, that's the heat, no wonder. So let me readjust that right there right quick. Let's 65 and see what that does. Y'all don't forget that. Let's turn it back down during the end of this thing and all that. Let me say to you that, if you will, the imagination. God said, cast down the imagination, exalt himself against God. Now, you know what that means? It's not going to be easy to whip the way your mind's thinking. You're going to have to use a little bit of force from God. You're going to have to use some energy. I mean, the mind's going to, well, you know, everybody else. Now, you got to make up your mind. You want to believe what everybody else is believing and doing, or you want to believe what God said? Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. See, in this lesson that you're looking at, and something I've never, sometimes I say stuff, and y'all go to thinking I'm talking about your kinfolks. I don't mean to talk about your kinfolks. It's just your kinfolks are in such a sorry mess and lot. I've had people that leave me over one issue and come to find out that wasn't the issue probably at all. They left over. They just wanting to grow long hair and look like a wild person. But I've noticed on the job they'll be able to pull it down and pull it and put it in a little bun or something to where they don't look as wild as they do in their defiance when they come down to the house of God. Have you noticed that? Did you notice that? Well, you ought to notice that. And you know the reason why they're that way? I'll tell you why. They serve after their own imagination. I'm going to give you another one more of them inventions that man's got. Worship leader. We're going to have the worship leader come now. Oh, yeah. Well, who in the world is he? Oh, it's a she. Oh, well, God bless her then. No such thing as that in the Bible. You know, God gave gifts unto the church. You know what they were? First there was prophets, and then there was apostles. And let me tell you right now, and then there's pastors and teachers. And you find no other thing that man has come up with to be able to be an inventor. I've been to a place or two that had a worship leader. And the woman that was worship leading, her pants were so tight, if they hadn't been soaked with nylon, she wouldn't have made it through the last little jiggle and the last little dance. They were singing that, my pants are tight, my pants are... No, I'm not. I'm sorry if you can't laugh at that, but that's a little bit funny. You know, there are some good people get caught up in some bad things. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you begin to realize that, no, he said, cast down every imagination that exalts itself. You ever notice how that it isn't hard to get up on Saturday morning and go deer hunting, but it's hard to get up on Sunday morning and pray for the service and get ready and pray and get yourself in a... You notice how hard that is? That's a part of the battle of the flesh. That's a part of the battle of the mind. And as a result of that, you know, you'll find... And if you stay home, if you'll stay home, if you've got the outdoor channel, I do not have, but if you did have, I've got the channel that the World Series would come on, but it's blocked out. And so I was fussing and raising Cain about that, and then the Astros lost 7-0 last night. See? I thought, my word, some of these guys need to be put back in T-ball practice, learn how to hit or something. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that the devil will fetch you every time you want to do something for the cause of Christ, for the glory of Christ. He just will. He just will. That's why, because we're in this flesh. I can't tell you how many times, and boy, I'm glad somebody's burdened about the nursing home. And I may go and this and that and all that, but I can't tell you in the last years, not here per se, but part here, but I can't tell you how many people have got me. We got started, got it going, and then everybody left us high and dry. We had to do it all on our own. I don't have that many times. I don't have that much energy. I don't have that many hours. You see what I'm talking about? Great, great ministry, but you got to really know the devil's going to fight you. All that sign holding out there that we do, I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing. I don't know if it helps anybody else or not, but it gives me a blessing. It makes me feel good after I've done it. You'd think that as good as it makes me feel that I'd do it more often. called the flesh. See? I said all that to be able to say this. Don't think that if you're going to serve God, you're not going to be in a battle of your mind against the devil, the god of this world, and he's going to be battling you, and you're going to have to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In this lesson here that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. In the book of Galatians, do you realize and know that the Bible said that the spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit? These are contrary one to another. If you're a child of God and the Holy Ghost of God lives on the inside of you, seals you to the day of redemption. Make no mistake about it, is that your imagination every now and again is going to go ahead and try to override what it is God's put already in your heart. Now I'm going to give you three or four places and then we're going to run. Notice in the book of Genesis in chapter number 6 and about verse number 5, first time you find the word imagination mentioned, you'll find that it's in connection with angering God and repenting the Lord that he's even made man. In fact, is in the book of Genesis in chapter number 6 and in verse number 5, listen to the passage. And God saw that the wickedness of man was very great in the earth. My Lord God, I wonder what he sees now. You know he's got that now. And he said that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now God saw that. God noticed that. And it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom that I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. First time you find it connected there is that it destroyed the world, all of life that was there besides those that were under the grace of God and the canopy of God for safety. Look in Genesis chapter number 8, about verse number 21. You know, every now and again, somebody, well, you got to understand, we're but young people, this and that. Well, we understand it by verse number 21, Genesis chapter 8. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. I want to tell you something right now. When you look at the word imagination there, and God says, cast down the imagination, hey, don't think, well, it's going to be all right for me to just run wild with my imagination a little bit, do what I feel good and think good about. I got a news for you, honey. Make no mistake about it, is that when man was so inclined to follow his imagination, it took him so far away from God that God said, I'm going to destroy all humanity because he's got a wicked heart. And his imagination is evil continually. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 29, there's a passage that we ought to look at. And let me say to you that in the day and hour we live in, this Bible says, here's what people's imagination will do. Look in verse 18. Lest there should be among you a man, a woman, a family, or a tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and to serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you that beareth gall and wormwood, and it come to pass that when he heareth the words of this curse, he blesseth himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness unto thirst. And the Lord will not spare him, God said. You better not let your mind run wild with it. In this day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake, while you turn to Jeremiah, and over there in chapter number 7, in chapter 7, there's a passage I want you to look at, Jeremiah 7. And when you begin to look into that, you begin to recognize and know that Israel, over and over again, had an imagination of an evil heart. Verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. And see, that's what happens whenever you get to where your mind runs wild. You won't listen to what God said. But they walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart. And they went backward and not forward. Now, that's what happened to you. We could go on in chapter number 7 and verse 24. He talked about that imagination of an evil heart. In chapter number 9 and about verse number 14, he talked about those who had an evil heart. In chapter number 11, in verse number 8, he said about, again, their evil heart. But look in chapter 13 of Jeremiah, And I want you to see in about verse number 10. And here's what ended up happening. They finally became so cold, and they finally became so callous that they didn't really want anything to do with God. The Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. And in Jeremiah chapter 13, and there in verse number 10, he said, "This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall be even as this girdle, good for nothing." Now God had told Jeremiah, "I want you to take this girdle, I want you to go down by the river Euphrates, and I want you to find a place, and I want you to put it in a hole and bury it there." And he did, and after a time, God had told him, "I want you to go back and get that girdle and bring it back out." And he did, but it wasn't good, it was marred, it wasn't good for anything. He said, "I want to tell you, that's what Israel's done, this is what imagination does. It makes you like a marred girdle fit for nothing." I got to tell you something, is that what a thing that was. While you turn to the book of Luke in chapter 1, and we'll be closing with that passage over there. But when God says that we're to cast down our imagination and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, that's against the word of the Lord. In the book of Luke in chapter number 1, there's a woman who is a holy woman. A woman that loves God, a woman that loves the Bible, a woman that's been saved by the wonderful and marvelous grace of God. Her name is Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 51. Now, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doeth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, you ought to mark 47 in your heart, if nothing else. And the reason being is because under Romanism, they don't teach that Mary had to get saved. She wasn't a sinner like you and I. That Bible said there, she by her own testimony, "I rejoice in God my Savior. He hath regarded the Lord's state of his handmaiden and said, Behold, and from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done unto me great things, and holy is his name." Verse 50 now, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Now look in verse 51. "He hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Now here you are sitting here tonight before me, and as we've been talking about, casting down every imagination that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Receive the engrafted word of God that you might grow thereby. And while you see that, and while you hear that, and all of that, now you have to make the choice that you're either going to receive it, or are you going to keep following your own imagination of your own evil heart. See that? And that's the reason why this world's in the shape that it's in. And I'm not talking about the Democratic Party. I know that's a devil bunch. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, the Libertarian Party. I'm talking about everybody in this religious-minded world. They follow the imagination of their own evil heart. And I hope and I trust and I pray that you and I can be on guard and that we can exalt and magnify the God, the Lord and Savior, the God of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet, our heads.